It was a very challenging thing to come up with our Heart and Home Conference this year. The deacons said they thought it would be good to have a financial conference. I wasn't entirely gung-ho behind that idea. And trying to get it scheduled and figured out didn't go quite the way that I had planned. I think it would have been best to have started where we are today and then have the financial elements following. We've kind of got things swapped around backwards in my thinking, but we have had a good week in terms of making us think about what God has given to us and how we need to be careful. We need to be on top of the things financially and caring for responsibilities that we oftentimes allow to slide. But today is what I'm really looking forward to, as we have already examined this morning, that our stewardship is a whole life stewardship. Everything we have is from God, and it is all to be for His honor and His glory. It's nothing of us. Though we work hard and we develop the things that God has given to us, ultimately it is His gift. And we look forward to having the Overflowers with us today. They have been pastoring over at Guthrie Center for a number of years. We've gotten to know them, become very close friends with them. We've gone camping and stuff with them over the years. And I knew I was placing a responsibility in capable hands. And so, Pastor Overflowers, if you would come and share the Word of God with us.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to share from God's Word here today. It is definitely a sacred privilege to be able to do that, to share from God's Word. Hopefully I'm on, actually, on the wireless mic here today, too. And it's a sacred thing to stand before the pulpit and to open up God's Word and to be able to say, "Thus says the Lord," as we come to you, not because of who I am, but because of what the Scripture says, and as we declare that here today. Thank you for that warm welcome, and thank you for inviting us to come as our family. I would not have the ministry that I do, except it were for my family, especially for my wife, Sarah, married for almost 25 years, and she has stuck by me through thick and thin, and appreciate that with her, and our children are a blessing, too, to have them with us here today as well, and so thankful for them, too. I'd ask you this morning as we begin, have you been given a job or a responsibility before? Maybe for some of us here, you can think back to your first job. Well, my first job was babysitting. Neighbors down the road needed someone to watch their kids. And so probably on a Friday night or something like that, they would say, "Could you come over and watch our children?" And they entrusted me at age 14 or 15 or something to watch their kids and take care of them. And hopefully I could give them back to the parents at the end of the night. And there were no major injuries, trips to the hospital, and that the children were still alive after I did them, after they babysat them. Some of you may have had the responsibility as a young person. You've been able to take care of someone else's pet or their livestock. Maybe they've gone on a trip, they had to go somewhere, and they said, "Can you take care of my pet?" Maybe it's a hamster. Maybe it was taking care of someone else's goats or sheep or chickens. And that was your responsibility. Take care of them, feed them, water them, make sure that they're if they need to be inside or they need to have bedding or they need to be protected or whatever, that was your responsibility to take care of them. Because all of us, at one time or another in our lives, will have some sort of responsibility. And that responsibility that we have is something that has been given to us. As we talk about the topic of stewardship this morning, stewardship is simply taking what has been given to us by the Master and using it for His
good, for His benefit, and for the Master's glory. So I would ask you today, and I'm especially speaking to those of you who are believers, I'm asking the same question that we asked in the adult Sunday school class this morning. And could you do this with me, just like I'm doing? Could you take your hands and cup them together, just like I'm doing? And I, especially in the military, they're really good at shaming people sometimes. We don't move on until everybody's done it. Can you do that? You take your hands and cup them together, and I'd ask you this morning the question, what is in your hand? Well, probably nothing right now, if you actually look to see. There isn't nothing. There's air in your hands this morning, isn't there, right? No, that's kind of a joke right there. But seriously, I'm asking, what's in your hand? And by that I mean, what has God given to you? What has God entrusted to your care? Would you bow with me in prayer before we begin? Father, thank you for the opportunity we have today to look at the topic of stewardship. And Lord, even as we ask, what has been entrusted to our care? Help us to understand that. And then, Lord, especially help us to move beyond just understanding what we have and help us to learn how to use those things here today, to use what we've been given. Lord, work in each of our hearts, my heart, each man or woman that's here today, each boy or girl, that we would understand what's in our hand and then use it in the way that you've told us to use it, that there might be a benefit for you and that you, our Master, might be glorified. And we thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, hopefully you have an outline in front of you here this morning. That would be helpful. And just to, there's just four pages on it here. We're going to be on the very front page here this morning. And you can see this here again, too. I've entitled just this conference, and I didn't give that to Pastor ahead of time, Entrusted by God, Being Faithful Stewards of Christ. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you, number one, are a servant of God. You're a servant of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 says we're to consider ourselves servants of Christ. Are you saved this morning? Have you come to that point in your life that you've realized that you're a sinner? Now, by that, I don't just mean, I've done some bad things, and everybody does bad things. No, I mean where you come to the point where you realize that when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you realize that that's me. I've sinned. I've violated the standards of a holy and righteous God in heaven. And that means that I am a sinner. I'm a helpless and hopeless sinner. I have no hope of gaining heaven on my own. Because you've realized that it's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's not something I can do. It's a gift of God. You know what we're talking about in this conference? We're talking about stewardship. We take the gifts that God has given us as believers and we use them. And the first gift that you've received and been given by God, if you're a believer here, is a gift of salvation, forgiveness for your sins, and acceptance with a holy God. It's not something you can earn. It's not something you can work up. It's a gift to be received. If you receive that gift by faith, if so, you've received the gift of eternal life. You've received the gift of salvation. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we're going to see from our text this morning, it'll be our last text that we're going to look at, that you have received at least one spiritual gift. And I think beyond that, we looked at in our Sunday school hour that all of us have something. You have something in your wallet. You have something in your bank account. You have some place where you live. You have some talents and abilities. You have some way that you can speak, some way that you can serve, some way that you can help. And this morning's focus is not just understanding that we have something, but it's going to be to use it. to put it into practice. Farmers, how would it be if you had a new tractor? Imagine your choice of color, whether red or green, and it was brand new, and it just sat in your machine shed, and you never used it. Boy, and you'd say, boy, that would be dumb, wouldn't it? Especially when you were hurrying to get things planted before the rain came. How would it be if you had a brand new sports car? And I don't know how many of you might have a brand new sports car, where you just left it in the garage and never drove it. Or some new tool in your garage, in your man cave. Or ladies, you had some other thing that you loved and cherished and you never used it. What a shame that would be if you didn't use those things. And I'm going to share with you again the definition of a steward. What is a steward? Because you might not use that in your normal everyday word. You know, you probably... Okay, this week, yeah, you had a conference on stewardship, right? So you might have used the word steward. What does it mean to be a steward? Well, here's a definition of a steward. This is on page 2, top of page. A steward is one who is entrusted with the resources of his master, who is to wisely and carefully manage those resources in the way specified by his master in order to benefit the master. So I could come this morning and I could, you know, imagine I have some sort of gadget and you can do something with this gadget. I could come and give that to you and say, here, would you use this gadget? Let's just say this gadget cost $1,000, right? And it could help you to do something. You know what we ought to do? We ought to use that thing that we've been given. So you've been given something by God if you're a believer. You've been given resources, and we'll talk a little bit about those. And we're to take those. Those are not just ours to hoard, not just to leave in the garage, not to keep shut up in the machine shed, not to let gather dust, but to do something with it, to help and benefit the master. The master said, I'm going to give this to you. Use it. By the way, at a future time, the steward will stand before the master to account for how he has managed his master's resources. That's tonight. We'll really get to that point. So back to the front. I'd ask you again. You don't have to put your hands up this time, but what's in your hand? What has God given to you and entrusted specifically to you? And to you? And to you? What has he given to me? To you. It was wonderful this morning to see our young people, to see others using their musical talents and abilities, singing, playing instruments. I remember in one church that we were in before, there was someone who was a beautiful pianist, absolutely a wonderful pianist, and she had little interest and little heart to use that ability. And you know what I'd say? What a shame. What a shame to let that talent just go to waste. You know what? Let's not waste the resources that we've been given here today. So if you would turn to the Gospel of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 16. There's going to be two primary texts. The first one is Luke chapter 16 that we're going to be in here this morning. And here's what our proposition, here's what we're trying to come away having learned as we go to Luke chapter 16. As servants of Christ, believers must faithfully manage all the resources that have been entrusted to them by God. And that's, I think, coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And it's going to apply to this our text here in Luke chapter 16. And sorry, the printer cut off the however you pronounce it. So Luke chapter 16 this morning. Luke chapter 16. Would you look with me in your copy of God's Word this morning, Luke chapter 16? Listen as we read Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. So Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, He also said to His disciples, There was a certain rich man who had a steward, And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. Verse 2, so he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when they put me out of the stewardship, or when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So we come to our text here again. We see that as servants of Christ, believers must faithfully manage all the resources that have been entrusted to them by God. I want to look at four characteristics of our management. So I can't count. I told you in the morning that mathematics is not my strong point. Usually I can get to three. Three characteristics of a wise manager, a wise steward of God's resources. Here's the first characteristic. God wants us to manage His resources shrewdly. So shrewdly goes in the blank. God wants us to manage His resources shrewdly. Look at our text again in chapter 16 of Luke. So Jesus is telling a parable to His disciples. And He says there's a certain rich man who had a steward. This was common in the day. If you were a wealthy landowner, a wealthy businessman, that you wouldn't do all the management yourself. You'd hire that out to have someone help you to manage your resources, right? If you own a company today and you have hundreds of employees, you can't manage all those people and all of those resources yourself. You're going to hire someone, even in a restaurant. Many times there'll be a manager. The general manager will manage those resources, right? A manager is someone who receives the resources of someone else, and they're told, do business, do it well, take care of my finances, earn a profit for me, and I will come back later and see how you've done and give an accounting for that, right? And that's exactly what's going to happen here is a rich man had hired a steward. Can I talk about one aside just really briefly? So we talk about stewardship. It comes from the Greek oikonomia, which simply means house law. Stewardship means house law. This is the same word that is sometimes translated in our Bibles, dispensation. A dispensation, and we think about the age that we live in, the church age, the New Testament era, is not a way of salvation. We've always been saved, even in the past. You can see that from Romans chapter 4, Abraham and David being used as people were saved and accepted by God, not by what they had done, but by simply trusting and believing in the Lord. A dispensation is a way of ordering one's life. It speaks of the responsibility that we have been given in the church age in which we live. And so as we talk about stewardship, we're talking about the responsibility that we have been given. The responsibility that we've been given individually as believers. We're talking about the responsibility that we've been given as a church. You've been given as a local church. This is what you are to do. This is what I've given you, God says. This is what you are to do with what I've given to you. This is what I expect when I come back again, or more properly, when we go home and we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's tonight. We're going to be talking about that. So This man, this rich man, had a steward, a manager, someone to take care of his resources. Now, how's it go? Well, all of a sudden, an accusation is made against this manager, this steward. An accusation is made, it's mentioned in verse 1, that he is wasting his goods. He's squandering his goods. We're not given the detail. Perhaps it's embezzlement that's going on. It's interesting. We used to live just a little north and east of here. And surrounding us in Guthrie County, and I'm not going to give a lot of details, there were several places in these small towns, small town clerks or whatever, where there's only one person who basically has charge of the finances. You know what they would do? Embezzlement. Finally, oh, they're transferring funds from their own personal account or their, you know, whatever it might be. That might have been the case with this steward, this manager. Uh-oh, that's a problem. It might have just been that they were incompetent. Because you can just be incompetent in your position and you blow it, right? I shouldn't probably be in charge of the books, right, if I'm not good at mathematics. Some of you have that gift and be able to do that. Either way, you know what's going to happen? This steward, this manager is going to be called into account. What have you done with what I've entrusted? You're going to have to give me an account. That's what happened with this case. And so give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. You see that last part of verse 2? He's going to be fired very shortly. He's going to have to come and take the receipts, take the ledgers and say, show me what you've done. You know what I think that steward felt like? Nope. Right? And that deep down in their throat, like, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. So you know what the steward says? What am I going to do? That's what I think. That's is the Joshua Overforce paraphrase. What am I going to do? I can't dig. You know, I might not be strong enough to dig, do manual labor. I'm way too proud to beg. But then there's the light bulb. I know what I'll do. And here's what the steward will do. And here, I need to miss, this is an important part that we don't miss. Look at the end of verse 4. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, when I lose my job as a manager, they may receive me into their houses. What's the first thing you think about if you're going to lose your job? Or if the farm economy just goes south? What do you think about? What am I going to do? How am I going to pay the bills? Where am I going to live? How am I going to take care of my family? And that's what's going through this manager, this steward's mind. How am I going to, where am I going to live? And he has this light bulb moment all of a sudden. I know what I'm going to do, that when I lose my job as a steward, I'll have a place to live. I'll be taken care of. Listen to it. This is important. Look at verse 5. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? Right? Okay, he's a manager. This is a businessman that he works for. A rich man is a businessman. And he's conducting business apparently on a bulk kind of level. Right? This would be the Sam's Club or Costco or whatever wholesaler that they would have had at this point in dealing with these things. So he called every one of his master's debtors, those who owed money, who had credit, a line of credit, and still owed a lot to the master, to the rich man. Verse 6, and he said, how much do you owe? 100 measures of oil. So that really doesn't mean that much to us. This is probably 800, almost 900 gallons of pure olive oil. You know what? This is worth a lot of money. I think from what I had heard, this would be approximately from 150 olive trees, and it would be equivalent to 3 years' wages. Now, you're doing some math in your head. How much is that? You put it in dollar figures for today. This is worth a lot, isn't it? So I'm thinking, that guy, this creditor, you know, this person, or excuse me, the per debtor, rather, the person who owed all this money for this olive oil that he had bought from this rich man, from this businessman, says, yeah, that's a lot of money. I'm not looking forward to paying that back, right? You know, have you done that before? You've taken a debt out, and maybe you just, you had all those car problems or something, and you would watch the commercial, or maybe it's someone else you saw that they went and bought a new car, and he said, yeah, I'd kind of like one of those too. So you went off to the car dealer, and you signed that paper, and afterward, about a month later, thought, oh no, how am I going to pay all this back? Well, and that's what this person who would got all this olive oil thought, yeah, that's a lot of money, isn't it? But listen to what this steward, some would say he's a sly steward or a slick steward. What does he do, the manager? So he said to him, verse 6, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. What's he just said to him? I'm going to give you a 50% discount if you pay it today. Any of you like getting big discounts when you buy stuff? I love it. My wife in particular, she is all about deals. She loves deals. And I've learned to appreciate that in her, that she is going after deals. You know what? This guy's going to get a bargain for this. Oh, that's a great deal, isn't it? So he apparently sits down and writes the bill. But the same thing's going to happen a second time. That's the first person who owes his boss money. But do you see that again too? Look in verse 7. He said to another, how much do you owe? And so we said 100 measures of wheat. This would be the amount that would be harvested, approximately 100 acres. This is roughly equivalent to the same amount that's here. And forgive me, I don't have the bushel number in my mind. It's a lot of bushels. Lots and lots of bushels of wheat. And he says, how about I give you a 20% discount on this? Go ahead. If you pay your bill today, I'm going to give you a 20% discount. Look at what happens in verse 8. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. Now, some of us might be thinking, isn't this the Bible? Aren't people supposed to be honest? And is the Bible teaching that I am to be a dishonest businessman or woman or whatever? That I can take shortcuts and, you know, sometimes the Bible is simply making a point. Matter of fact, it's making a very, very important point. Now, you know what? I can think of one illustration. Some of you, I like World War II history. A few years ago, I read a whole volume on World War II history and learned about General Rommel, Erwin Rommel. North Africa is where General Rommel, this Nazi general, was. And I find that he was a very wise general. He could lead his armies in going against vastly superior armies because he was so wise on tactics. He was very shrewd. And a matter of fact, even besides that, General Rommel was a family man. He wrote his wife every day, a letter every single day, when he was on the field in North Africa in World War II, about 1940 or so. And so, think, General Rommel, he must have been quite the guy. And some might think, well, does that mean that you like the Nazis? That you like German socialism? I said, no. I just think General Rommel was brilliant. And even if he was on the wrong side, apparently he was a good family man too, even while he was doing that. I like one person, one characteristic, or two characteristics of this person. And you know what? That's what the Lord Jesus is trying to make, the point that he's making in this parable. One main point. This steward dealt shrewdly. Look at it again in the text. Verse 8, the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. And here's the 4. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. I was amazed sometimes when I worked in iron mining, the effort and preparation that the workers would put into their 401k, that they would put into making sure they had their best years for their Social Security. You know why? Because they were concerned about retirement. Sometimes I think, boy, I didn't put enough work and effort into retirement. And sometimes I think today, how are we going to make it when we get into retirement? They were concerned about what was to come, about their retirement. And this shrewd steward, you know what he was concerned about? When he lost his stewardship, that he would have somewhere to stay, somewhere to go. And his plan was this. I am going to use my stewardship in the time that remains, maybe a week or whatever he might have had, to make friends. I'm going to use my abilities and the resources that I have in my care just for now, not for long, to try to make some friends and do it quickly. And he'd give a big discount. Now, I mean, if somebody came and they gave you that new tractor at 50% off, if you could still afford it when it gets to 50% off, wouldn't you like that guy? Right? If they gave you that particular discount, you know, if say you're a firearm person, you like firearms, and they got a new gun of some kind. And he said, I can get you that for half price. Just for you. You're my friend. Would you like that guy? Absolutely you would, right? Or whatever it might be. Fill in the blanks with these types of things. The sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So God wants us to manage His resources shrewdly. Now, let me just say this. This is not teaching us that we are to be unethical. That's not the point of this at all. We're going to see the point, actually, as Jesus kind of wraps it up and tells us what the point is again in verse 8. It's not to be unethical. It's to use the resources that we've been given for this. Look at verse 8. And I say to you, now here's where it turns from just being a story and an illustration to now Jesus is speaking to his disciples. I say to you, verse 9, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. What is mammon? It's simply wealth. It's an Aramaic term used for meaning wealth, the things we possess, that when you fail or it fails, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Jesus commended this steward. And as a matter of fact, the master in the story, which is not Jesus, it's just a steward, commended, or the boss, the rich man, commended his steward because he had done wisely in his business dealings, right? He had set himself up for retirement. And we think about it in stewardship in our point, what are we to do with the resources that we've been given? We are to use them for the advancement of the gospel. We're to use our resources for the betterment of the church. I remember I had a first sergeant that he would always say, does anyone have anything for the betterment of the company? And you know, we can ask that same question of ourselves, what do I have of my resources that could benefit my church, that could help the gospel to be advanced in our circle here in Cumberland, Iowa? There's people who have been very resourceful in coming up with ideas sometimes. And again, this is not, don't think again that we're talking about anything unethical, but what do you have that you can use for the advancement of the gospel and for the betterment of the church? The creative ideas sometimes. People might say, I want to get the gospel around the world. So they came up with these radios. I can't take that step too far here, can I? They came up with these radios that were solar charged, and sometimes they had a little crank on them to help charge it. And either they could do that little recorder, and it would give the Bible in the native language of the people so they could hear God's word. And there's someone who came up with that idea. There are people who have funded that idea. And people around the world in another tribe on the other side of the world heard about Jesus, could put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know what happened? They advanced the gospel, and the church was built even on this other side of the world. I know of one of your sister churches, and we did here as well. We thought, well, they're kids' ministry. This is just an example. The kids aren't coming to us. We'll go to them. So people gave of their time. You know what? The things that we have for our resources are not just the money I have in my wallet or in the bank. It's my talents. It's my abilities. You know what? Here's a really big one. Our time. because each of us have the same amount of time each day. What will you do with your time this week if you're going to look at the time that you spend Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday helping to advance the gospel and for the betterment of the church? That's the point that's being made. So God wants us to manage His resources shrewdly. That's the first characteristic. Second characteristic, God wants us to manage His resources wholeheartedly. So wholeheartedly goes in the blank. Wholeheartedly. With my whole heart, with all of my being, with all of my strength. Look at the text again too. Look at verse 8. The words of Jesus, verse 9 rather. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, or it fails, right? Because don't ever get caught up in the idea that this is all there is. It's amazing in the tornadoes that we had in Iowa and Nebraska in just the last couple days that there were no fatalities. They say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that no one died in that. I think there were some serious injuries, but no one died in that. But you know what? It might be next time that the tornado comes through that there are fatalities. It might be that I'm driving back home to Creston this evening, and I have that fatal heart attack like my father did. I have, and you have, a limited window of time to be a steward. Your stewardship started, believer, when you were born again. Your stewardship ends when you're taken to heaven and you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Or simply the rapture comes and Christ takes us home to be with Him. That's the end of our stewardship. We're going to give an account for it, but that's tonight's message. But look at this lesson here again that comes with this too. That they may receive you into an everlasting home. Why do you do what you do? Maybe just pick on you Sunday school teachers. You don't have to show your hands. How many of you teach Sunday school? Think about that. Why do you do that? Why do you prepare a lesson week after week? Why do you spend the time with those kids in your class? Why do you share with them? Sometimes when it doesn't seem that they're listening, they're distracted. Why do you do that? Because you believe, and I hope this is why at least, you believe that if you invest in the lives of those children, you invest in the lives of your students, that it's going to matter for eternity. It's going to make a difference for eternity. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be stewards because it's going to make a difference for eternity. We realize that we don't just live in the here and now, the nasty here and now. We're looking forward to the sweet by and by. We're advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. People can get saved and the church can be built up. Jesus said, I will build my church. He's still in the process of continuing to build His church today. Is He doing that right here in Cumberland, Iowa? That's what He wants to do right here. It's not just the here and now, it's what comes in the by and by. It's not just here on this earth, it's what's in heaven that's really important. Living for God and for His glory. Using the resources that we have. And I'd ask you again the question, what's in your hand? What do you have today that God will want you to use for His glory? Using the resource that we have for our eternal home, for heaven. You know what? Jesus said, He told us that if we are faithful, that we will receive rewards in heaven. And as we think about it, as we sometimes are so tempted to get caught up with the events that are going on right here and now, we lose focus sometimes, forgetting that there's only two things that are eternal. The two things that are eternal is the Word of God and the souls of men, women, girls, boys. He wants us to manage our resources wholeheartedly. Look down at verse 13. I just need to summarize for the sake of time. Look at verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Money, wealth. Do you know what I feel in my own heart and life sometimes? Is this tension that goes on. Because of my sinful flesh. You know what, by the way, even though I've been saved for years and years already, probably 40 plus years I've known Jesus Christ as my Savior, there's still this tension that goes on in my heart because I am not totally free from sin. I'm not free from the presence of sin being in the world that I live in. And I have this tension in my heart, my own desires. I want to be on the throne of my life and say, this is what I'm going to do. Jesus says, I need to make a decision. Believer, you need to make a decision. Who or what are you going to live for? I can't live for two things at one time. And it really depends on who or what is in the throne of my heart. Because what happens in my life, it happens in our lives. We take the gifts that God has given us. We've taken the gifts that God has given us to use for His glory, for the advancement of His church, the advancement of the gospel, for serving others in the body of Christ. And I say I'm going to use that just for me. Now, by the way, there's a blessing as we take the gifts that we've been given and use them to serve others. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I'd submit to you that there is more joy in being in the center of God's will than when I say, my will be done, not thy will be done. There is joy and blessing when I say, thy will be done and not my will be done. And we use what we've been given to serve Him. We have to make that choice. I could give you tons of illustrations, but for me, it comes to things, recreation that I enjoy sometimes can become so important. You know what? Recreation is good, whether it's golf or hunting or fishing or can shopping be a recreation even too? Yeah, probably. And I make that more important than what God has for me today. So I need to die. I need to die to myself and my own ambitions. Say, Lord, what do you have me to do today? God wants us to manage His resources wholeheartedly. And I'm just going to summarize this for the sake of time. Finally, God wants us to manage His resources unselfishly. It's not pleasant to listen to, and my voice becomes hoarse. God wants us to manage His resources unselfishly. I'm going to just turn over and look at 1 Peter chapter 4 as I summarize this for you here today. 1 Peter chapter 4. As Peter says, each one of us has received a gift. Every single one of you here today that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ has received at least one spiritual gift. We looked in our adult Sunday school class this morning that there are several different gifts that people have been given, and those fall into two basic categories. Serving gifts, where we just serve each other, or speaking gifts. Each one of us has been given some sort of spiritual gift. You know what God wants us to do with our spiritual gifts? He wants us to use those for the benefit of others. The problem in the church at Corinth is recorded in chapters 12 through 14 of the book of 1 Corinthians, was that people took their spiritual gifts and they were so enamored by their spiritual gifts and trying to use their spiritual gifts for themselves that they lost focus that gifts are to be used for the sake of others. And I've received a gift. Now, I could speculate about what that gift is. There's people that come up with, you know, you can do this test to figure out your gift. You know what? Sometimes it's a, do you see a need that comes up and says, I can help, I can do that, I can encourage, I can give, I can speak. You know what? Then you're getting really close to the gift that God has given you. It's by the burden that God gives you to use that gift and use it to serve others. You know what? God wants us to manage His resources unselfishly. And that's, I think, the emphasis in 1 Peter chapter 4. And the end is seen in verse 11. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Four major areas of stewardship that God has entrusted to us are spiritual gifts and abilities. That's what I just mentioned, are gifts. Number two are physical resources. What do you have in your hand? What have you been given? What do you have in your home? What do you have in your accounts? What do you have? What physical resources do you have? How about the people that you have? Parents, you have children to steward, to shepherd their little hearts, to introduce them to Jesus, to train them up in the way that they should go. And how about the Word of God and the Gospel? The Word of God and the Gospel. The gifts, the physical resources, the people, the Word of God and the Gospel. You can see on the bottom of your sheet. And I guess this, if we're going to call this an invitation, this is kind of it. And I would ask you, I'm going to read through it once, and I would ask you, would this be your heart today? Brothers and sisters, I appeal to you, would this be your heart today? Maybe God the Spirit has put His finger on a particular area of your life. And believe me, I'm raising my hand. I've had that happen many times in my own life. God will say, what about this? And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to ask you if you would read that with me, if that would be your heart here today. Steward's confession, right? All of us are stewards. If you're saved here today, you are a steward of God. You're a manager of God's resources. All that I have is from God, belongs to God, and is to be used to further the gospel and church of God, to the glory of God. And sorry, that got cut off. It belongs to God, and it ultimately is to the glory of God. If that's your heart today, would you say that with me? All that I have is from God, belongs to God, and is to be used to further the gospel and church of God to the glory of God. As we dismiss our service this morning, I've asked Pastor if he would help to distribute some resources here this morning. So I thought, what a better way? You might say, I don't have anything in my hand. I have nothing. Well, you won't have that excuse after today. And what's going to be given to you is going to be given by someone else. You know what? Our spiritual gifts are given to us sovereignly by God the Holy Spirit as He wills, as He saw fit to distribute to us. Sometimes you may think, well, they have something that I don't have. They have a spiritual gift that I don't have. They have more wealth than I have. They have a better tractor than I have. They have a better wife than I have, or whatever the case might be, or husband. You know what? God has given you what you have. Our responsibility is to use it. So perhaps it would work best as we leave today that you would receive those things. There are items for children. There's items for adults. They're not terribly expensive. But it's to make us think, what do I have in my life? And what can you do with what God has given you? To advance the gospel, in other words, so people can come to hear about Jesus and have the opportunity to put their faith and trust in Him. And second, is for the betterment of the church. What's in your hand? We'll have to give an account for that. And that will be tonight. We talk about the judgment seat of Christ. Accounting for what we've been given. As we give these things back to the Lord and say, Lord, here's what you gave me. I give it back to you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for who you are, for what you've done. Thank you for salvation, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the gift that has been given in not just anything, but your dear beloved Son, the only begotten Son of God, gave himself for us that we might be forgiven. Thank you for that gift of eternal life and forgiveness. Thank you for each believer that's here today. Thank you for what you've given to us and that you've allowed us to be part of your work. Help us to be good stewards, to be good managers in the work that you've called us to do, no matter whether we're a homemaker, a carpenter, a farmer, a student, a child, someone who's elderly. If we're in Christ and we belong to him, we're stewards and have been given gifts according to the manifold grace of God. Multifaceted, wonderful grace of God. We thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.